You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hey, you're listening to Intuit from Vulture and New York Magazine. I'm your host, Sam Sanders. In this episode, we're going to talk about some big pop culture stories of the week, including whatever is going on right now with those Lizzo allegations, which seems to be a lot. And then we're going to play a game after that, the classic, legendary Intuit game, Intuit, Not Intuit. To do that this week, we are breaking what I'm going to call the podcast fourth wall because I'm joined this episode by two good friends of mine. Saeed, Zach, say hello and tell folks who you are.
Hi. It's so nice to be back. It's been a while. It's been a minute. It you know, has. LOL, we're going to really break some walls.
Leave that in post, Travis.
But no, hi. It's so good to be here. I'm Zach Stafford. I do a vibe check every week with Sam Sanders and Saeed Jones. We are all dear friends. I'm a fan of this show, and I'm not a big fan of Lizzo's music, so I'm excited to talk about her today. It's really, really exciting day for me. And by not fan, I'm starting there.
Damn.
I know her music. I don't really play it. I don't think I've ever played it in my house.
Okay. So that's one of my guests, Zach Stafford, who has guns out blazing for Lizzo. Saeed, tell folks who you are.
It is early in LA. I am shook, Zach. Oh, my
God. Good morning.
Good morning, honey. Hi, I'm Saeed Jones. I'm a poet and writer. I also co-host Vibe Check with Sam and Zach. And I was like, see, this is exactly why we have two podcasts. Because I was like, I was like, oh, honey.
Too much for one.
Oh, my.
Too much for one.
We got to get back to this. Like, I love that. I do not have like a job in like breaking news, politics, you know, so it literally never happens that there's something that news breaks where I'm like in the middle of lunch and I'm like, I've got to get to the podcast studio. But girl, this might be close. Zach, I'm shook. I didn't know you felt so strongly about Lizzo's music. I've been like, I like Lizzo's vibe. I like her mission, like what she represents. The songs themselves at times can be a little elevator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Starbucksy, but my favorite song is Rumors, and now look at me.
If you believe I do that, had to cut some hoes loose, Indy ain't no loose lips, now them hoes trying to sue me, bitch, I don't give two shits, all the rumors are true, I've been in the bamboo.
Anywho, let's explain the 101 before we get into a chat about what this means. Listeners, you've heard it by now, you've seen it by now. Three former Lizzo dancers have filed a lawsuit against the pop star. They're alleging sexual harassment. They're alleging creation of a hostile work environment. This suit also claims that Lizzo pressured dancers to engage with nude performers at a club in Amsterdam. Also claims that she shamed one of her dancers for weight gain before firing her. And the suit claims sexual, religious and racial harassment, disability discrimination, assault, and false imprisonment. Now, we should be clear here. These are all allegations in the suits. Lizzo has issued a statement denying the allegations, but the allegations are there. And so my first question to you both is, what do you make of that?
So I just want to again reiterate, I don't dislike Lizzo. I just don't listen to her music. Everything I know about Lizzo as a person, as a celebrity, as a TikTok star, her whole conceit about, you know, girl boss, empowerment, whatever. The other thing that underlies Lizzo is that she's very frank and she's very open and she's very like your friend that is funny and gets you to get outside of your box or the box you didn't realize you're in that she says you're in. And she really pushes people to this new place. And everything I've read so far about her tracks. I could believe it because it sounds like someone who is a really like the loopy, kooky friend that wants to like say what they really think about you, take you to a sex club that you may not want to go to and be like, girl, you got to do it. This will make you feel better. And I think within all of that, Lizzo potentially, if all of these were to be true or if they did happen, you know, forgot that she's the CEO of her own company. You can't treat your employees like this. She was a bit too casual.
You can't hang with your employees like
that. No, you shouldn't be taking your employees to a sex club, period. So that's why I'm like, some of this feels real because it feels like someone forgot what boundaries were and it all got really mixed into the gray zone. So that's where I'm at with her. I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe some of this is a little exaggerated, but I think in its core, there's some truth here that like she did take people to a sex club. And I'm like, as a CEO of Lizzo,
as their
LLC,
boss, as their boss,
you should not have.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No. No, so that's
my thought. That makes sense. Yeah. Saeed, what's your take on this first glance?
What a mess. Like I said, I'm sure it's more complicated than it's actually, it seems pretty complicated. I don't think anyone would doubt that.
Yeah.
It's hard because this it's both like a legal issue. I mean, you know, people, you know, allegations of assault, harassment, but then also it's a brand persona issue, right? Which I guess, you know, anyone being accused of harassment, but I think, you know, truth hurts, special, rumors, like the very nature of how Lizzo has positioned herself, like Zach says, is to get to the real and authenticity. And more importantly, regarding like Lizzo, you said as a, like a CEO, Lizzo is supposed to be an alternative to industry norms, an alternative to a status quo, an antidote to a lot of toxic ideas. So I think even if you're not a big Lizzo fan, I think you know the gist of what she's supposed to stand for. And these allegations fly in the face of that. So it's confusing. And then the other thing, and something that I just for the last few years, I don't have answers on, but I know is a question I need to answer. It's how do we revise our relationship to celebrities we admire? We've just got to do it. It is.
Yeah.
I think it's healthy to come
we're
up with this new boundary. I don't know how. We're asking too much. It's just
not.
I'm like, the only one I trust is Beyonce, you know? And even she's married to a billionaire that I don't like very much. Like, how do we change our relationship to pop stars, to movie stars, whatever? And we say, I really like the work they do, but I like the work they do. I don't know them.
There you go. What I find most puzzling about this is probably kind of attached to what Zach brought up, these issues of boundaries and these issues of like where a pop star like Lizzo stands within the world that she's created. I think I was texting with y'all this week about this story before we're talking about it today. And I was like, basically, why is Lizzo at these events with these people who work for her? Why is Lizzo interacting enough with staffers that she gets to yell at them? Part of what you do when you become the figurehead of any big operation, whether it's being a pop star, hosting a TV show, like you have a layer of like management between you and the people working for you. And people think that's just to protect the star from all these other people. It's to protect the other people from the star.
Yeah.
You want to have that layer and that wall and that barrier so you don't end up in opportunities where you end up possibly drunk and urging people who work for you to dance with someone nude on a stage. And I was comparing this to like Beyonce in our text. I was like, most people who work for Beyonce don't talk to her.
Yeah.
They can't. Yeah. They can't reach her. There's a wall there. And so when I see these allegations, the first thing I think is like the structure wasn't right.
Yeah.
She was too close to this stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
that's my first thought.
Well, on that, like, so the, what the Amsterdam with the nude dancers and all this, I mean, part of it is it feels a bit like a throwback. And I think you're right. I'm like, I just don't know if celebrities at your level can do this kind of stuff anymore. It made me think of Madonna's mm-hmm. Truth or Dare tour mm-hmm. and the documentary. Mm-hmm.
You guys, I'm going to go back in the room. And who am I going to flirt with? Who? Tell me.
I know.
Who?
Pop stars going out and hanging out with their dancers while they're on tour is not unusual. It's not. Yeah. I don't know if I would recommend it for all the reasons you just pointed out. It also made me think of like Janet Jackson, like all the voice message interludes when it is often dancers or friends and she's like masturbating on some of, you know, like, but we're not, it's not the 90s. It's not the 80s. Things have changed.
Yeah.
And anyway, to go back to everything, Lizzo, you're not them. Your entire point is trying to create a healthier, safer, more accepting
and a different
world for
dynamic.
People. So I'm sorry, girl.
I want to pause here just to acknowledge that Lizzo has released a statement about all of this. I'm going to read a little bit from it. The first graph, because it's very long. She wrote, quote, "These last few days have been gut-wrenchingly difficult and overwhelmingly disappointing. My work ethic, morals, and respectfulness have been questioned. My character has been criticized. Usually, I choose not to respond to false allegations, but these are as unbelievable as they sound and too outrageous to not be addressed." That's just the tip of that iceberg of that statement. Mm-hmm. There were some other allegations where Lizzo was questioning a dancer's performance on the tour, saying things like, "You lost your light and your spark," which the dancer took as comments about their weight. Mm. And I'm kind of like, all right, Lizzo, if you're the head of Lizzo Inc. and you've got a dancer for you who's not working out, the best way to manage that is to have someone else deliver the bad news. Seriously. Because no matter what you say, you're Lizzo.
Right.
And so everything is going to be bigger, more hurtful, more painful, just because it's you saying it. Let someone else do that. I don't know. It just feels weird to me.
It is weird. And I think it's part of a learning curve of being a celebrity, building a business. Like, you know, she wanted to be a singer and she struggled for years to be a singer. She never thought about being girl boss, CEO, most likely. I don't know her, so I can't assume. But, you know, many artists I meet weren't thinking, oh, I want to run like a multi-revenue, multi-national business. Like, that's just not it. And it's really hard. That's why there are people on these teams that do these things. So I think a lot of them have these kind of like aha moments of like, oh shit, I didn't sign up for this. And those moments, you know, they should be allowed to like trip or mess up. But I will say that if some of these things are true on how they're being written, they are kind of inappropriate across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Can I point something out about her statement? Something about her statement that I wanted to draw attention to is at one point she says the allegations are, quote, as unbelievable as they sound. You know,
they're not unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That I think so. I just, my issue is that what a manipulative thing. Like, allegations are always, by the very nature of something being serious enough that there's a lawsuit and allegation, of course it's going to be something wild because that's why there's a lawsuit. And it just feels to the point of boundaries and everything. You know, lately, something I've been thinking about how a lot of really dangerous people are figuring out how to use like therapy and mental health language and weaponize it. I feel like that's a conversation we're having with people like Jonah Hill, who, by the way, has the same lawyer as Lizzo now, Marty Singer.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
I'm like, Lizzo, you retained a lawyer who has represented people like Johnny Depp, Bill Cosby, and Jonah Hill.
Wait,
yikes.
That's her lawyer?
That's Marty Singer. Yeah. Yikes.
Oy.
Brett Ratner, girl. Yeah. But again, like, imagine someone doing something hurtful to you, and then they turn to your friends and are like, yeah, these allegations are as unbelievable as they sound. Like, it's so manipulative. Yikes. Yeah.
Well, also, my thing is just, like, the first lesson of, like, crisis PR response is issue a statement quick and make it as short as possible. It took 2 days for this statement to come out, and it felt way too long and defensive. Mm-hmm. I don't think it helps. I don't think it helps just as a statement. I do want to ask, though, before we stop talking about Lizzo and move on to other things, in a meeting with the Intuit team from earlier this week, a colleague said, who do we have left in terms of, like, Lizzo being really the only one of her, a plus-size Black woman megastar. Mm. Like, whatever these allegations entail, she was a role model in many ways to folks who had never seen someone like her at the level she is at. And that was inspiring to a lot of people. What do we do with those emotions that folks had for her? And how can we take these allegations seriously, but still critique a culture of fat shaming that made a world where there was only one of Lizzo?
I would say, you know, for people feeling really heavy from that reality that, you know, if Lizzo was to be canceled, which I don't really think is going to happen, you know, I think Lizzo's going to be around after this some way, somehow. But if we live in a world in which she just disappears, you know, this is a great lesson to remember about being the first and only, because that means you are also the last for a lot of people. And we need to create spaces where there needs to be more Lizzos, more of everybody, so that we have bigger tables and more people there, so that the weight of representation doesn't fall so heavy on the head of a Lizzo or whoever, Laverne Cox, all these other people. And so we need to really look, because those people are there. Like, even last night, I texted you both. I was in LA. I got to see Brittany Spencer, a Black plus size girl from Baltimore, who's from Nashville now, who's a country music singer, who is now touring with all the biggest country stars, and she's about to blow up.
But in a perfect world, you get sober, I get skinny. We live off for more than pennies, writing checks that we can cash, keeping all our promises.
And she has the same type of energy, positivity as Lizzo. So we all exist. That's the reason why we get so excited about representation, because we see ourselves. So I think we're at this point of representation where we need to not only see ourselves, but we need to become those things on stage, or let other people be that. We don't need the only ones, unless they're Beyonce. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm like, bring in more people.
Yeah. Saeed?
As Zach was talking, I just had a vivid memory of, I feel like it was summer of 2021, of getting in a Lyft. And music was playing when I got in the Lyft, and I sat down, and the driver was not Black. And he kind of looked in his rearview mirror to acknowledge me and said, hey, you know, Lyft for me. He's like, cool. Mm-hmm. And then he immediately changed the music to Lizzo. And it just
for you.
It felt so like, oh, let me put on, you know, I want my customers to have a good experience. So he's Black. Let me put on good. And I was like, this is the Black music you think I want to listen to? Let me be nice for a moment, because I like I said, I was like a fair weather fan with Lizzo. I really did like the song Rumors with Cardi B, and so I'm fully shook.
I remember you loving that song.
The lyrics are, and I remember when I first heard the lyrics are so specific. I had to cut some girls loose or cut some hoes loose. I remember being like, is she talking about a relationship or what? It literally sounds like she's talking about firing dancers. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let me be nice. So Lizzo, I wasn't devastated by her allegations. I was shocked. But I'm sure there are people out there to whom Lizzo, I think, as a spokesperson for these ideas, means a lot. And also, she has a lot of young fans, actually. Mm-hmm. So let me say this.
Yeah.
If via the ideas that Lizzo loudly champions or sings about or raps about felt like the truth, lived in you like the truth, it's still the truth.
Yeah.
It's difficult when we understandably have respect not just for the message but the messenger. That's very natural. It's hard to separate the two. It's difficult. But, you know, loving ourselves, trying to change our relationship to our bodies, self-image, understanding that we have infinite potential, those are inherently good ideas. And they actually are much bigger and will be here much longer than Lizzo ever was going to be. So I understand that it can hurt, but like whatever Lizzo said or gave you that was helpful, hold on to that.
You can hold on to that.
She gave it to you and now it's yours.
Saeed, what you just said could be applied to so many cultural battles people are having with people they've seen or grown up with or loved and now have seen them fall from grace, and they don't know how to reconcile the art and the artist. And what you said should be played on loop in every conversation when someone else messes up.
I mean, because it's not just pick a medium. Like if you love culture, it may not just be in a distance. We've all had role models, people we know very well, you know, mentors come to disappoint us. I think this is just a part of life. But now maybe because of social media and how it works, and we have these parasocial relationships with celebrities and public figures, it's happening perhaps more frequently than it would just in our normal everyday life. But yeah, it's hard though.
It's hard. Listen, this is a lesson I've internalized for a long time. Someone told me once, and it was pretty smart, if you have anything to lose, never go to the second location. Never go to the second location. And a lot of this Lizzo stuff feels like second location business.
Yeah.
That girl, you're the boss.
See?
You can't be at the club with the dancers.
Everybody's not going to get what you're saying. Everybody's not going to get what you're saying.
Wait, what are they going to get? Saying.
Well, because you have to live a certain kind of life to even understand that the second location is an option.
Well, baby, I've lived the life.
And actually, maybe this is like one last thing. I'm not trying to make excuses and stuff, but it's... We work in workplaces. We've been in newsrooms. We work in places that have HR departments, or what do they call them? People teams and stuff like that.
These artists are used to being managed. They're not used to managing. That's why they have managers. So you can't expect them to be great managers. That doesn't, you know, disregard or not hold them accountable for action.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot be like, you know, Lizzo is like my boss at my 9-to-5 corporate job. No, girl. She is an artist that her day starts at 7 p.m. and she goes on stage and she parties all night.
Yes.
It's a very different world. So just stop applying your like day to their day. And that's how we can start creating distance between ourselves and these pop stars.
Which again goes back to Sam's first point, right? Like, you need to have real friends who can go with you to places like Amsterdam, not people who are on your payroll.
You just can't
do both.
Listen, you ain't Janet Jackson. This ain't the That's the Way Love Goes video. Your dancers aren't your sisters.
No.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. Do not go to the second location. The only second location we're going to on this show after the break is a little game called Into It, Not Into It. That's our second location. Listeners, stay with us. We will be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, we are back. We're smudging Palo Santo, burning incense, cleansing the room from what we just talked about last segment, because now I want to play a very, very fun game with you both, Saeed and Zach. I think you know how it goes. It's called Into It, Not Into It. First, are y'all into or not into stars like Cardi B clapping back when concert goers do things like throw drinks at them while they're performing on stage? You saw Cardi throw a mic back into the crowd after someone threw a drink at her. You into that or not?
I'm into it. And as Cardi B did, I love that she made sure to switch the mic to her stronger hand. Yes. I don't know what's going on. I think in the last few, I mean, certainly Bebe Rexha, she had to get stitches. She had a black eye. I think someone threw a phone.
Because a cell phone. So,
a cell phone.
Someone threw a phone at Bebe Rexha.
Harry Styles, Drake. Yeah.
Someone tossed cremated ashes at Pink.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
It was like, well, they threw a bag on stage. I want to make it clear. They didn't like throw like ashes like confetti at Pink. That would be even
How
worse.
Much better does that
well,
make it?
How much better does ashes someone make it? Throwing like technically a biohazard as a person is a little bit different than like setting a Ziploc bag on stage. Still bad. Still bad. I am from the Adele school on this. I don't know if y'all saw it, her Vegas residency. She talked about it on stage.
What happened?
She was like, you hear about people throwing things at celebrities? Don't do it to me. I'll fucking kill ya. Except she said it with her accent. Woo! And I'm like, big mood.
I love it.
I fucking dare you.
I don't know why people are throwing like heavy objects, not bras, not panties, as our aunties used to do back in the day, but like heavy things that can hurt people. I don't know why, but y'all need to learn. We need to stop it because it's only going to keep escalating. And sometimes you just got to throw a mic at somebody.
Also, of all the people to throw stuff at, I'd be most afraid to throw anything at Cardi B.
1,000%.
She's from these streets. She's from these streets. Anywho, Zach, are you into this or not into this?
I am so into it.
The throwing of the mic.
I'm so into it. I see it as an act of resistance. I see it as, you know, similar to... I see this being up there.
Someone said, Cardi B threw the first mic at Stonewall.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm holding a copy of Audre Lorde's The Uses of Anger.
So. 1,000%. Yes. There was Marsha P. Johnson and then there was Cardi B. Ooh. I think people should fight back. You know, if people are not, you know, abiding by your consent, because I know there's been some confusion on Twitter about, well, she did let people throw water on her before, so it may have been confusing or something. Girl, no. She said, in this moment, you can throw water on me. I'm consenting to this moment. Now I'm not. I'm singing, and you did it without my consent, so I'm fighting back. So I'm into it.
Yeah, but let's talk about that. So there are some complicating factors to this incident.
Are there?
Videos posted by audience members from earlier in the concert show that apparently Cardi had asked the audience to splash her with water, I think because it was hot.
Splash her down. Give her some water. Splash her the fuck down.
So the splashing happens, but then she thinks the splashing's done. One more person splashes and splashes too high.
And through ice.
Also,
there's
apparently
ice in
at
that.
This.
You see ice go up.
Yeah, see?
So no.
Then apparently the night before, Cardi also threw her microphone at a DJ who had been cutting off her performances.
Oh.
She was a little trigger happy.
Again,
yeah.
Cardi B is from the streets, honey. She has never lied about who she is. And that's why I'm like, you show up. You know, you work with her. You've seen her videos. Like, I would expect this out of her, and I love it. So I don't know. She told you who she was.
She's a known quantity.
The only thing wilder would be someone throwing something at Azealia Banks or Suge Knight.
1,000%.
Not Suge Knight.
Cardi is pretty clear on how she handles misunderstandings.
Yeah. And I would say that Beyonce has recently given you a lot of evidence of what the perks of consensual interaction, you know, with the gender reveal, which I hate gender reveals, period. But someone held a sign up that was like, can you do my gender reveal?
Girls.
So they're asking via holding signs so that she can read them and be like, yes or no. So that's what you need to do. Yeah. And it's more special when you get them excited.
Also, it all goes back to Beyonce. She's just performing celebrity better than any other person.
Yeah.
She just, and this is the thing why Beyonce is not caught up in any drama about microphones or whatever else. She's really not dealing with anybody. She's not dealing with any. I'm starting to forget what her speaking voice sounds like. She don't even talk. She gets out there and does her music. She gets out there and does her music.
The work is work.
Anywho, Claire, an update on the Cardi B mic in question. You can now bid on the microphone at auction. It will benefit two charities, the Wounded Warrior Project, a local Vegas charity called Friendship Circle Las Vegas. And at last check, my colleague Janae told me the auction was up to $93,000.
Girl, if I had $94,000, I would consider. That is
what?
A gift.
What are you going to do with the Cardi B microphone?
Girl,
what are you going to do with it?
I kind of want it. I feel like it's so confusing because, you know, I was raised as a Buddhist and I just feel like I'm a pacifist who also believes talk shit get hit. I just feel people, we're in this era where, you know, I think it's like our phones and technology, people getting really bold and are just forgetting how to exist in public spaces with other people. And I wish there was an easier way to learn, but I know a quick way to learn how to behave is to get smacked. And I hate that. That's where my mind goes, but... Yes, my honest reaction was, well, that's one way to learn that lesson.
All right, last question on this. Let's say you're performing on a stage and something must be thrown at you. What would you want to be thrown? For me, it's gummy bears. That's fun.
Gummy bears? Would you eat them live?
I don't know. Maybe, if the stage is clean. I don't know. I like gummy bears.
I would say, for me... In my single days, in my days in the streets, it would have been a phone number or like a picture, you know. You know what type of picture. Yeah.
Oh. That's
it, yeah. Something like sexy. I'm into that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay, Zach says sexy. Saeed?
A stack of $20 bills. Whatever happened to throwing money at the stage? Whatever happened to a... Like, if you're going to do...
Whatever happened to
making it rain? You know, show some appreciation for my labor.
I'm obsessed.
I mean, yes. Why not?
Just, so we got to move on. I know we do. But Kelly Clarkson said, if you ever feel the need to throw anything on stage at me, it better be diamonds.
Well.
To which I say, Kelly Clarkson is always right. Listeners, as we go to break, I want to ask you, as I always ask you, to do a few things. Rate and review this podcast on whatever podcast app you use. Subscribe to it as well. Tell your friends about the show IRL in real life. That's the best way to get us some new listeners. And if you haven't already, get the Brandon Taylor book, The Late Americans, because we're reading that book together as a community for a Vulture Intuit book club. Read the book this month. We're going to go to the author, Brandon Taylor, with your questions about the book at the end of August. Email us at intuit@vulture.com. All about that book. Okay, now the break. We're good. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docuspecial on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
Question two. Are y'all into or not into Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, and also a little bit zaddy, announcing that he and his wife, girl, Sophie, are splitting up? Saeed's ready. I can see some. Saeed?
Woo!
Saeed?
Fish, I've been waiting for this. Zach, you go on, though. You go on.
No, I'm just saying, I woke up this morning and I had two thoughts. I said, I really need coffee. And second, I hope Sam asks us about Justin Trudeau because, baby, he was in my dreams last night. I'm ready. I have been thinking about him.
Wait, what was the dream?
Girl,
what was the dream?
Just put two and two together. I just said I wanted you to throw a phone number at me in this last segment. I was like, what do you think this dream was about? I have loved that man since day one of seeing him. I think he is just phenomenal. I think he has some complicated politics with any leader of any country that is wrapped up in the capitalism, sure. But just give me the moment to look at his face and that fat booty. It is everything to me. So yes, into it. I hope that more.
Did you just say fat booty?
Yeah, the booty is
fat. I never noticed that.
It is fat. It is something.
Well, now I gotta Google. Yeah. I gotta do
I would
some
say
Googling.
Justin Trudeau.
What keywords should I Google?
I would say just Justin Trudeau butt.
Booty?
Yeah, booty butt something. I would say Justin Trudeau ranks number one in the free world for best butt, I would say. We should do a ranking.
Oh, wait. In the free world?
Well, leader of the free world. Okay, leader of the free world. Sorry, leader of the free world.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, now you're just playing fast and loose. No, your white skin.
Very into it. I feel bad. I know he and his wife have been together for many, many, many years. And whenever a politician announces separation from a partner while in office, you can take that as a sign of more to come. There's some bigger thing happening. So, we will see what news breaks. But until then, and hopefully it's nothing terrible, and hopefully this is super consensual, he is still fine. So I'm into it.
Saeed, you have a lot of thoughts.
Okay, first of all, let me be consistent. I don't know Justin Trudeau.
Okay.
Like I just said, it's really dangerous having strong feelings about public figures, especially as I just pointed out, we don't know what allegations are about to come out. I'm like, his wife was fine with blackface. So what happened that she finally decided to leave him?
Yeah.
So, you know.
I shouldn't have done that. I should have known better, but I didn't. And I'm really sorry.
So last question then on celebrity splits. What celebrity couple that's still together right now do you want to see split up? Be mean, be petty, be for real. Be for real. Who should split up?
I thought you were going to say, who would you be devastated? And I was like, if Angela Bassett
who do you want
and Courtney
to split
B.
Up?
Vance break up, I would actually be like really sad.
That would hurt. No, but who needs
to
divorce?
Okay, I have one. I feel bad saying this, but I feel like we just have to.
Say it.
I really want Megan Good to choose better right now. You know, we don't know what's happening with the Jonathan Majors stuff, all of that. But she is such a darling. She's existed in Hollywood as a black woman for so long. And I would hate to see whatever happens in the situation take her down because that woman has been working. Harlem on Amazon keeps getting renewed. She is beloved by black people. I'm worried for her. So I just don't know what's going on there. So that's the one I'm like, girl, walk away. It's new. Let it go. Come back to it later. So that's mine. Megan Good, Jonathan Majors.
Okay.
I like that, because at first I was like, "Who? What man do I want single? Like, whose house do I want to burn down?" But instead, let's take the more altruist. I would say Halle Bailey, because she's dating like a really shitty
who is she with?
She's some C-list rapper, but he recently put out a song out recently where he basically is complaining about her kissing men in the movies that she's in.
Yeah, that's the job.
It's like how hard it is to see her kiss a prince in a Disney movie, his girl, and I'm just like, Halle Bailey,
she's picking up the tab.
You are so beautiful, so talented. You know, your life is like, he is not worthy. He is not worthy.
I will say, who I want to celebrity divorce, just because I want to hear a divorce album from her, Beyonce, leave Jay-Z.
She ain't living that man.
Imagine
She's
the
never
divorce album. Imagine the divorce album.
But would love, because yeah, man, let's
she
go. She
could have almost left with Lemonade, and she
remember
didn't.
Remember how
so she's never
we were
him.
When we got to the second half of Lemonade?
It was
like
fight
Beyonce
him.
Was like, and now we heal, and I was like, do we? Like, wait
no,
a minute,
girl. Do we?
wait, do we? What do you
speak
mean?
Speak for yourself,
what do you mean,
Beyonce.
Sam Castles. What?
Yeah. Moving on. Last question for the game today: are y'all into or not into Bed Bath & Beyond, after going through bankruptcy, mm-hmm. being reborn through Overstock.com? Overstock.com is now BedBathAndBeyond.com. I don't know why, but it happened.
I'm into it because that Beyond is really doing a lot of work here for Bed Bath & Beyond. It has existed for a long time.
Previous guest on this show said that the word Beyond in Bed Bath & Beyond actually represents queer possibility.
That's the aisle where all the bidets and douches are. I guess it's fine because I mean it's a well-known brand name.
I even bring this up in the game because like I know this show is about pop culture, entertainment and shit, but like the very idea of Bed Bath & Beyond feels like pop culture to me at this point. Like it's more than just a store. I think about those coupons that never expire. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think about everyone having that communal experience of like moving into a dorm and you got $200, but you got to furnish a whole apartment. Where do you go? Bed Bath & Beyond.
100%.
It symbolizes something. So I'm like strangely and earnestly happy the brand lives on. And I don't ever feel that strongly about brands. But Bed Bath & Beyond. Yeah.
It's funny, it I do have problems there, but I do miss, I'll miss the physical location, because I like going to the website, I was like, I don't know, I think of just, I feel like the way it was set up, it's almost, it's just slightly more manipulative in terms of how Bed Bath & Beyond was set up as a store than IKEA. Like, slightly mm-hmm. less of a maze.
You know? IKEA leads you through a maze for 3 hours mm-hmm. while you watch couples passive-aggressively fight on the couches. And then when you're exhausted and can't get out and they can go no further, you're in the cafeteria, and if you don't have those meatballs, you will die.
That's real.
IKEA knows what they're doing.
Life-saving.
Yes, yes. Who should be the celebrity spokesperson for the rebranded Bed Bath & Beyond?
Drew Barrymore.
Oh!
That came to you,
you
so
know
quickly.
What? It really did come to you quickly.
Yeah. I would say Drew Barrymore because she has done pretty well at Walmart and that's been great for her, but she has not, you know, passed our dear Patti LaBelle is the number one brand, I think, right now at Walmart. And Walmart's gathered a lot of celebs under their umbrella. So I think Drew Barrymore should break that licensing deal and get over at the Bed Bath & Beyond and go digital.
I want a commercial of like Drew Barrymore doing that same smile cry she did in mm-hmm. the rain a few years ago, but in the middle of a Bed Bath & Beyond.
Whenever you can go out into the rain, do not miss the opportunity.
I was thinking of Bed, so of course I was like Justin Trudeau. Like, you know, his own little version of From the Windows to the Walls, you know, but like from the Bed.
Yes,
and Beyond.
Justin Trudeau doing Get Low in Bed, Bath, and Beyond.
Get into it.
Okay, I would
see the vision.
I would watch. That would go viral. Sam, you got to think. Bed, Bath, and Beyond has gone digital. They need to be thinking about their digital strategy now.
It
what are
would
viral
be a
moments
hit.
That they can clip?
We wouldn't be able to look away.
Justin Trudeau just walking through the aisles, shirt unbuttoned a little bit too much.
Listen.
Ow!
All right. Thanks to my friends and colleagues, Zach Stafford and Saeed Jones, for playing the game with us this week. Listeners, you can find Zach at Zach Stafford on all social. You can find Saeed at The Ferocity. And the three of us host a weekly Kiki of a podcast called Vibe Check with new episodes every Wednesday. Thank you both. I'll be texting with you as soon as I stop recording.
Can't wait.
There's like 5,000 things I wanted to say that I couldn't, so we'll just go straight to the group text.
All right, Intuit is hosted by me, Sam Sanders. This show is produced by Janae West, Travis Larchuk, Gabi Grossman, Jelani Carter, Taka Zinn, and Oluwakemi Aladesui. Our fearless editor is Jordana Hokeman. Our engineer is Daniel Turek. Our music is composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. The executive producer of audio at Vox Media is Nishat Kurwa. Listeners, we're back on Tuesday with a brand new episode. Till then, take care of yourselves and don't throw anything at Cardi B. Okay, bye.